The reading this morning is taken from the letter to Hebrews, chapter 1, and the first four verses of chapter 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand, and I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So this morning, we're going to begin a new series on the book of Hebrews, which will be running for about 6 weeks. So just a bit of background on the book. The author of the book of Hebrews is unknown. It was written to, guess who? The Hebrews. And the reason for writing the book was to, people were drifting away from the truth slightly, and so it was to make sure that people knew that Jesus is above all. So in this chapter one that's just been read, we can see that God spoke to man through the prophets. It tells us about angels, and it tells us about the coming of the Son of God. So I'm going to look at these three today. I'm going to look at the prophets and what they had to say, the angels and who they are, and the Son of God and who he is. From chapter 1, we can see that God made absolutely sure that we would not miss who the Son of God is. He has made sure that those who seek God will find him. And all of this, the prophets, the angels, and the coming of the Son, shows us a Father who held nothing back from us. And that over time, he gradually revealed his plan to human beings. So the prophets, what did they say? Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at various times and in various ways." So God spoke about the coming of his Son through various prophets and in various ways. And these prophets, these prophecies, they spanned thousands of years. They were just ordinary people. They didn't know each other. But these prophecies, when they're pieced together, they give us a picture of the Redeemer that is to come. And it's a bit like the coming soon trailer for a film. It builds up expectation of what God is going to do. And over the year, a picture emerges, which is a picture of Jesus. The prophets spoke the words given by God, and they probably had no idea that their words was part of a bigger picture. So I'm going to look at some of the prophecies about the coming of Jesus, and there are loads. If you read the Bible, there are loads of prophecies, and the whole Bible points to him coming. But I'm just going to look at six of them. And as I've looked at these, I've found it really amazing to see the detail that God has given us so that we would not be mistaken who the Son of God is when he came. So the first prophecy I'm going to look at, I think it's the first one in the Bible, it's in the Garden of Eden, so it's just after the fall of man. So Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit that they were told by God not to eat, and this prophecy is given, and it is spoken to the serpent who is the devil in the garden. And it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And so God is speaking to the serpent and he says, "I will put enmity." I didn't know what that meant. That means hostility, apparently. "I will put hostility between you," the devil, "and the woman." He's talking about Mary, Jesus's mother. "And between your offspring," those who belong to the devil, and hers, those who belong to Jesus. He then goes on to say, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." This tells us about the crucifixion of Jesus, the heel of Jesus being struck, and Jesus crushing the head of the devil when he overcomes sin and death on the cross. So even there, at the beginning of time, God had a plan. He had a rescue plan for mankind. The next prophecy I'm going to look at was a long time after this, and it was given to Abraham. And that's in Genesis 22, verse 18. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." The promise was given to Abraham that through his seed, all the nations would be blessed. And through Jesus, all the nations absolutely were blessed. So far, we can know that the Messiah was to come from a woman, and he was to be the seed of Abraham. The next prophecy I'm going to look at was Jacob. This was a long time after Abraham. And this is in Genesis 49, verse 10. It says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." The scepter here represents authority, and the one to whom it belongs, that's the Messiah. So we can tell from this scripture that the Messiah is to come from the tribe of Judah. The next prophecy I'm going to look at is given to the prophet Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." So this scripture tells us that the Messiah is going to be a descendant of David. So far we know that he is going to be born of a woman, that he will be the seed of Abraham, that he will come from the tribe of Judah, and that he will be a descendant of David. The next prophecy is given to Micah in chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, yet out of you will come for me the one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This tells us that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And the last one I'm going to look at is given to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So from this, we can see that the Messiah will come from a virgin, and so it was Mary. So we are told through the prophets that the Messiah will come from a woman. He will be the seed of Abraham. He will come from the tribe of Judah. He will be a descendant of David. He will be born in Bethlehem, and his mother will be a virgin. And every one of these prophecies were spot on. They weren't a bit right, they weren't nearly right, they were exactly spot on as God said that they would be. And these were not things that Jesus could make happen after his birth. They were put in place before his birth. God gradually unfolded his plan for mankind in his Redeemer, the Son, Jesus Christ. He gave specific words about the coming of the Son so that we would not miss him. So I'd like to look at the angels. There's loads in the Bible about angels. It's all really very interesting. I'm just going to look at what it says in chapter 1 of Hebrews. So it says that the angels will worship Jesus. It says that they will be his servants. It says that Jesus is far more superior than the angels, and that the angels were created to worship their creator. Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And I remember reading that when I hadn't been a Christian very long, and I thought, how amazing is that, that God loves us so much that he sends angels to minister and serve to those who will inherit salvation. Now, I've never seen an angel. Some people do, don't they? I did have an incident once at Oasis where I was going to do the talk, and there was a group of us involved in the service praying beforehand. And as we started praying, we were in a bit of a circle, and I felt two big hands on my back that were really hot, not uncomfortably hot, but just really hot. And I was really conscious of it, and I thought, what is that? And I thought, it felt so firm, I thought maybe I'm leaning against the piano or something. So I moved forward, and I could still feel it. And then I thought, oh, maybe Steve, my husband, had come and he was praying behind me. But the whole time we prayed, I was really conscious that there was someone standing behind me. And when we finished praying, I looked and there was no one there. And a lady in the group that we'd been praying said she felt God say, there's an angel standing behind you. I don't know if it was an angel or not. I kind of think maybe it was. But I've not forgotten it. So when this book of Hebrews was written, these people were drifting from the truth a little bit, and they were becoming a little bit obsessed with angels. And so it is written so that they would know that Jesus is above all of those things. If we worship angels, talk to angels, focus too much on angels, we're missing the point, because angels were sent by God who loves us and knows us to serve and minister to those who will inherit salvation. So I want to look at the Son of God and who he is. We know that God spoke through the prophets, and we know that God sends angels to minister and serve those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God spoke to us through Jesus, and it is recorded in the Bible so that we can read it and we will not miss it. Jesus came and he showed the love of God in a way that no one else ever has. He spoke truth. He wasn't always popular for it, but he spoke truth. And he told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. God spoke to us through his Son, and his Son is the Word of God. He is the Word who became flesh. He only had to speak, and creation came about. There is power even in his breath. It says in John 20, verse 22, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That still happens today. He still breathes on us, and we still absolutely receive the Holy Spirit. It says in chapter 1 that Jesus is appointed heir over all things. There is no one that stands above Jesus. There is no one who stands over him. There is no one who can stand against him. There is no one who directs his path. He is the one to whom it all belongs. This scripture says that it was through Jesus that God made the universe. I mean, I read that and you just miss it sometimes, don't you? It's the universe. And I think he spoke and creation happened and the universe was made. And sometimes I think we forget how powerful our God is. It says in chapter 1 that after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus the Messiah, our Redeemer, he came down to us here, earth, you and me. And he came and he sacrificed himself. He loved, he gave, and he surrendered to the Father. On the cross, he overcame sin. He paid the price. Sin and death hold us captive. Absolutely no more. It is finished. He rose from the dead, and he now sits at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, interceding for us. And that is our God. It says in chapter 1 that the earth will perish, but you will remain. Time does not limit him. He has always been and he will always be. And he is at the beginning, he's at creation, he's at the cross, he's here now, he's at the end, and he's everywhere in between. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Lord who was, who is, and who is to come. He is everlasting to everlasting. He is the Lord. And he is the highest power and authority in the universe, and there is no one above him. So just, I just want to sum up a few things that God spoke through the prophets of old. And God still uses people to prophesy. He speaks through dreams and visions and the word of God in any way that he knows that you'll hear. And because he knows us, he knows how we'll hear him. So that's what he uses for each of us. He used ordinary people to reveal the coming of his Son, and he still speaks to ordinary people and through ordinary people today. We don't have to be super spiritual or extra clever. God uses ordinary people, thankfully. So as I've been preparing this talk, I found the whole chapter amazing. And I really felt through the whole thing that God was saying, do not lose the wonder of my Son. And I felt that sometimes we can have maybe been Christian for a long time, or we can get tired or weary or not well or busy. And in all of that, we can lose the wonder of who he is. And sometimes because of that, serving can be a bit of a chore and we lose the wonder of Jesus. We get so used to hearing all the talk, don't we? All the stuff that we say all the time. And in the midst of that, sometimes I think we can lose the wonder of God. We belong to a God who loves us. And he made the world from nothing. And he provided everything that we need to survive on planet Earth. And then he filled it with beautiful things for us to enjoy. And mountains and oceans and hills and animals and flowers and insects and fish and all of that stuff that we love, he filled it for us to enjoy. And the glory of God shines through creation. And then he spoke through various prophets and in various ways. And he said, my Son will come through a woman, a human baby. He will be the seed of Abraham. He will come from the tribe of Judah. He will be a descendant of David. He will be born in Bethlehem. His mother will be a virgin. Don't miss him. And so Jesus came to earth. The Son of God came to earth. And he loved and he taught and he endured and he saved and he provided a way to heaven and he provided eternal life for every single person that chooses him. And after his resurrection, then he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit walks with us through this life every step of the way. And he comforts us and he counsels us. And not only did God do all of that, but he also, in our midst, put angels who will serve us and minister to those who will receive salvation. And Jesus now sits at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, interceding for us. And we look at all of these things and see that God does not want us to miss the wonder of who his Son is. He is the Saviour of the world. He is the Lord of all. He is the one to whom it belongs. He is the commander of the armies of heaven. How much more could he provide for us? How much more could he make us aware of his Son? How much more could he love us? He couldn't love us anymore. His love is all-consuming. It covers everything. It reaches from heaven to earth. It reaches individual people in individual ways. And if you speak to people who are Christians and say, how did you get saved? Every single one will be different because God knows us all individually and loves us all individually and knows how to reach us all individually. So I just want to finish with saying, do not miss the wonder of the Son of God in the busyness of our lives, because we can become so busy that it is very easy to do that, even if it's with church stuff. And maybe to sit in his presence and recapture the wonder of who he is. I'll just pray for us. Oh Lord God, I thank you that you sent the Messiah, your Son Jesus, for us, Lord God, and that you sent people to this world to give messages of your Son, Lord, and you gave us angels to serve and minister to us, Lord, and we thank you, Father, and I pray for each person here, Lord, for your blessing, Lord God, but also that we would remember the wonder of who you are, Lord. That you would pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and that you would touch hearts and transform lives in a way that only you can do, Lord. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.